My gorgeous queen, it's Callie, and I'm so excited to tell you about something that's transforming the way I work out. My Sweaty Studio app. If you're looking for a fun and effective way to get stronger, leaner, and more confident, this is it. Sweaty Studio is your go-to for on-demand Pilates workouts that fit right into your busy schedule, no matter where you are. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, the app offers a variety of classes, from 10-minute quickie sessions to full-length workouts that challenge every muscle in your body. And the best part? You can do it all from the comfort of your home, at the beach, or even while traveling. The app is designed to help you build strength, improve flexibility, tone your body, and feel empowered through affirmations blended into your workouts. Plus, with new classes and monthly challenges added regularly, you'll never get bored. You can even track your progress and join a community of like-minded women who are all on their journey to feeling their best. Some of my favorite workouts on the app are our Pilates and Praise classes that blend worship music with Pilates, our new Reformer Pilates workouts, or our Barlotti's flows that blend ballet movements with Pilates to the beat of the music. Ready to get started? Simply download the Sweaty Studio app now and take your Pilates practice to the next level. Your first 2 weeks are totally free, so you've got nothing to lose. Head over to sweatystudio.com to learn more and start your free trial today. Let's get sweaty together.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Healthy But Human podcast. My name is Callie. I am your podcast host, and I am so pumped you are here today listening to today's episode. Wherever you are in the world, welcome, my gorgeous queen. I am, first of all, so sorry for this late upload. Usually I upload every Wednesday, but things got a little wild over the weekend. Here's what happened is, if you didn't know this, I live in South Florida. And on Sunday, John, my husband, and I were watching church online, and literally in the middle of the service, one of the people at our church was like, yes, like we need to be praying for this hurricane as it heads our way. And we were like, oh, maybe he's talking about a metaphorical hurricane, whatever. And we didn't realize until I think John looked at his phone, his dad texted him and was like, there's a hurricane that's going to hit you guys. And so we were like, wait, what? This is how out of touch we have been since having a newborn baby. Also, hi, I haven't even recorded an episode since having a newborn child. So crazy. I feel like there's so much we need to catch up on. This is going to be a little catch-up episode. I'm going to give you all of the tea, everything about the birth story, the labor, being a new mom, all the things. We'll see how long the episode gets. I currently have my little gal on my knees. She's sleeping, and we'll see how long her nap lasts for. But until then, okay, so we find out there's a hurricane, and we're like, what do we do? Also, if you hear little squeaks, it's Belle. Oh, that's her name, by the way. Belle. Everyone meet Belle Gowali. Her middle name is Eden. Belle Eden Gowali. The most beautiful little gal ever to exist. I love her so much, you guys. Okay, where was I? So we find out there. Oh my gosh. She literally just puked everywhere. All right. Well, you know, this podcast, I feel like, is just gonna about to get 1,000 times more realistic and real because I'm real time recording while navigating being a mother. So I hope you guys feel and relate to this podcast even more. Just some realness for you. Anyways, girl just spit up everywhere. Oh, now we're getting a phone call. I'm gonna pause the podcast. Okay, hi, we're back. That was a little chaotic of a start for the episode. Anyways, we're gonna work with it. We're gonna continue on. So we find out there is a hurricane coming to South Florida, and John and I are like, we literally have a newborn. She's 2.5 weeks old, but she was 2 weeks old. And we're like, it would truly suck so bad to have her power go out, to have no water, to be in the middle of a hurricane with a newborn baby. Like, it's already been a challenge enough having a newborn child and navigating this whole season. So anyways, we were like, you know what, let's just leave. Also, we've been really craving going to Texas lately, and so, you know, this is where you're gonna laugh at us, because we laughed at us for this as well. Before Sunday, before realizing there's a hurricane coming towards Florida, I was like, John, it'd be so fun to just go on like a little drive, get out of the house, go and explore. What about like if we went up to Fort Pierce, which Fort Pierce is about an hour from my house. And we were like very down to do it. And then we decided, wait, like we haven't even driven 10 minutes. We've only driven 10 minutes with this girl, like 1 hour. We don't even know how she's going to be. So that happened on Sunday. John goes to Sam's Club to get stuff to prep for the hurricane and to like put up our hurricane shutters and all this stuff. While he's there, he calls me and he's like, okay, I think we need to evacuate. And I was like, cool. We're like, let's go to Texas. What do we do? What do, you guys? We literally, in one day, we get the entire house hurricane-proofed, sandbags, shutters, everything. We pack all of our belongings that we need. And on Monday morning, we like book it. We get in the car and we drive. So Texas from my house is like 16 hours driving without stops. So we literally were driving 16 hours with our newborn child and our two massive sheepadoodles. It was an adventure to say the least, but it was so fun and we made it here safely. Bella's a queen in the car. She loves the car. Literally just falls asleep and sleeps like a champ. And it's so funny because we have like, okay, this is like a whole little backtrack side story, but John and I, a couple of years ago, we had like a little bit of a moment where we were like, what are we doing with our life? Like, let's get out of New York City. We were living in New York at the time. Let's get out of New York City and let's go on a road trip. So we literally had like Axel, my sheepdoodle, with us, and then we had like a bunch of our belongings, and we got these big storage boxes and basically did like storage boxes in the back of our car, so everything was like organized and all the things. So John gets a storage box for this road trip, and we put all of Belle's things in the storage box, and we have it in the middle console of our car, and it literally worked out perfectly because we could lay down our little mobile diaper changing pad thing on it and do diaper changes in the car, and then I breastfed her in the backseat of the car. So we had like a full-blown little system happening on the way over. It was very much like power parent moment, to say the least. Okay, we're back, guys. I'm now breastfeeding Belle. This episode is seriously so funny. Like, it's so, I wish you guys could just see the entire behind the scenes right now. It is just, it's the most truest representation of my life at the moment as a new parent. We're multitasking many things, juggling lots of things. Where was I? So we ended up, we're in the car. We have this whole system happening. We've literally road trip all the way to Texas, and now we're here. Thankfully, the hurricane, I'm sure there was so much damage. Like, oh, just so sad. But we're not gonna dwell on that. Prayers for everyone who's affected by the storm. We prayed so much last night for our friends who were there, for everything. And thankfully, it sounds like the damage is less bad than expected. I think it's still pretty bad. Where I live on the east coast of Florida, so we didn't have, like, I know Tampa is what got really hit so hard. We got tornadoes, apparently, like a lot of tornadoes, and I know one of my friend's houses got hit by a tornado. So that definitely is scary and so sad. And I know there was just some tragedy. But moving on to today's self-check-in, though, before we get into the topic, the labor story, the birth story, what so many of you guys are wanting to hear, I can't wait to tell it to you. Let's do our self-check-in really quickly. So wherever you are, just take a moment to take a deep breath in through your nose, fill up your lungs with all the love, goodness into your beautiful body. Exhale, letting go of any stress, any negativity, any tension, just release it from your body. Just release it. All right, I want you to ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being not so hot, how do I feel today? And just get so real with yourself. Something in postpartum that I'm really navigating is just being, just letting my emotions happen, feeling the feels, processing it, and not staying stuck in it. So I think the first step is to identify how you feel today. And now just ask yourself, why do I feel how I feel? Did something happen in your day that made you feel like this? Maybe nothing happened. Just getting real with yourself here. Okay, now I want you to ask yourself, have I hydrated my hot bod in the past 30 minutes? If you haven't, grab your water and hydrate on 3, 2, 1. Cheers, my gorgeous queen. Okay, we have one more question. Short is sweet check-in day. I want you to ask yourself, okay, just get real with yourself. This is going to be a little bit of a tough love kind of question for you, but this question truly has changed my life and I will share how it has. But I want you to ask yourself, what is one of my blind spots? Personal blind spots. Think about this in the sense of like, okay, what is something that is holding you back from truly stepping into your truest, best self potential right now in your life? I was reading this book called Your Next Five Moves, and this is one of the things that the author said to do and ask yourself, and it was really, really helpful. I realized that I have been holding myself back in several areas of my life for the past few years, and it just woke me up. So even if you can't think of a personal blind spot, maybe ask someone you'd love and trust and has your best interest in mind and ask them, like, what do you see in me that is holding me back from being my best self? And just take it with very open, just an openness, not being offended by what they say, but just being like, okay, that's really helpful to know about myself. So that's my final question for you in our check-ins. I hope you're feeling more present, a little bit more just aware of why you feel how you feel. And yeah, okay, let's get into today's topic, the birth story. Bear with me as I tell this story. Genuinely, I have not written down an outline for the story, so I feel like there's going to be maybe some back and forth that happens, but we'll just dive into it and see how it goes. So let's see. Okay, so I gave birth on September 21st, 2024 at, I want to say, 3:25 a.m. And it was a very long labor, and we'll get into why it was a long labor. But before that, we have to backtrack a little bit. So at this point, okay, even more backtrack. When I was pregnant, something that I really wanted to do was have a very natural birth. Being natural, like holistic wellness, all of that, I've been very into for years now. And so the less intervention that I could do in my mind, the better for birth. I read this book called Ina May's Guide to Childbirth. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. And she is a doula / midwife, I believe. Her whole just mindset, everything is like natural, 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 home birth kind of stuff. And I actually was really trying to have a home birth or give birth in a birthing center, but it didn't work out. I was number 7 on the wait list, and it actually was so wild because I ended up being the next person in line for probably over a month or so. And I was pretty sure that I was going to get in, but I never got in. And that's a whole other story in itself about just hearing the Lord's voice and all of that, because I really thought the Lord told me you're going to give birth at this place. Come to find out though, I looked back at when he told me that, and now I know it wasn't for Belle, but I kind of realized, I don't know if this is for Belle. He didn't say this is going to happen at this birth, all the things. And that's a whole other story about like hearing the Lord's voice. I wanted to do an update episode on hearing God's voice, because that was something that was really hard for me the whole pregnancy, was trying to understand if this is the Lord's will, why isn't the door opening yet? Like, why isn't it happening? So anyways, it is come to week 39. I was convinced I was going into labor. I was at the coffee shop with John and I start having contractions, but they were Braxton Hicks contractions. If you don't know what those are, they're basically like fake contractions. Your body's just preparing to give birth. So you experience contractions that are a lot less intense than real contractions. So I experienced these, but on a more intense level than I had before. And I was like convinced I was going into labor. We literally went on a walk. I was like, I think this is it. It turned out the contractions stopped when I got home and laid down. And I was like, oh, okay. Pretty bummed. And also too, we have to address the fact that I didn't realize how mentally challenging, emotionally challenging it is leading up to labor, because you basically have, so the full term birth, I think it's either 37 weeks now, but like full term is 40 weeks. So you basically have give or take 2 weeks before that, 2 weeks after that is kind of like your time frame of when you could give birth, but even more so, like, you could technically give birth anytime before. I mean, I know someone who gave birth at 34 weeks, all these different things. And I was like convinced I was going to give birth before 40 weeks, but that didn't happen. So it was very emotionally grueling for me because I was getting so uncomfortable. I was like starting to feel stressed because I was giving birth at a hospital. That was the plan. And if I didn't go into labor before, I think the hospital allowed up to like 42 weeks or something. At 41 weeks, you start to have that conversation about like, do you want to get induced? All these things. And I started getting really, really stressed and anxious beyond just, I was so anxious. I'd cry like constantly. I would do everything to try and go into labor. I literally, oh my goodness, there's this stuff called red raspberry leaf tea, and it supposedly helps your body prepare for labor. And there's like this recipe called Labor Day Tea that one of my friends sent me. It's a disgusting amount of this tea brewed, and you're supposed to drink it. I literally drank it. It was horrid. I threw up. Like, I literally immediately threw up from that tea. It was disgusting. And then I also went and got acupuncture twice. It was a very, very strange experience. Really strange experience. You were like, everyone was in one single room in these reclining chairs getting acupuncture, and you basically were staring at other people. Just like, it was so bizarre. Anyways, it was good. The people were nice though, but it was a really interesting experience. So I did acupuncture. I tried curb walking, which is when you have one foot on the curb, one foot on the ground. You're walking on an uneven level, trying to get the baby to just like go down. Anyways, I did that. I worked out a lot. I walked a lot. I was doing so many things, like desperately trying to go into labor. I was bouncing on my ball, everything. Nothing seemed like it was working. So after I thought I was going into labor at 39 weeks, that whole week, there was hardly any contractions. Before that, I'd had so many Braxton Hicks. I was so convinced that labor was happening soon, but then it just stopped and I started to panic. And I was like, we're approaching 40 weeks. There's been nothing. We hit 40 weeks, still nothing. Membrane something. Swipe my membranes. I think that's what it's called. Basically, that's also supposed to help go into labor. Still nothing. Anyways, at this point, I'm panicking. And fast forward maybe like, I think it was my 40-week appointment. Yeah. The doctor asked me, she's like, she wasn't pushy at all, which was so nice. The doctors where I was going, they were just amazing. A lot of midwives I saw, a lot of just, they were very, very respectful of me wanting to have a natural birth. And so they were like, okay, like, let's have this conversation about, do you want to get induced? If you don't want to get induced at 41 weeks, then we recommend doing fetal monitoring to make sure the baby is still doing good, everything's okay. And at this point, I'm like, okay, I have a really big decision to make. I felt like at this point, there was so much pressure on me as a mom for the first time to make a decision for my child that could possibly be a life or death decision. There are statistics apparently that after I think 40 weeks, the chances of a stillborn can go up. And I was trying to not get in the fear-mongering statistics and all of that. Because I did truly have faith that the Lord was going to bring my child to this earth alive and healthy. But also I didn't want to be stupid. I didn't want to just not make a decision that could be good for her out of, I want a natural birth so bad, like I'll do anything kind of thing and put my child at risk because of it. So it was a lot of pressure on me to make this decision. And John and I prayed a lot. We scheduled an induction. And then after some more prayer, we just did not feel peace about it. So we end up canceling the induction. And this is where it gets really wild. We have a phone call with John's mom. And for anyone who has not listened to the episode, Cynthia, oh my goodness, it is so good. I will link it below, but she is a spiritual warrior. Like, I look up to her so much spiritually. And we had a call with her and we were just asking her questions about her stance on inductions, all these things. Like, I guess my concern was like, am I working against God? Like, is his timing, I don't want to like force something if it's not his timing yet. That was where I was coming from. And we asked her about like her stance on inductions, all these things. And she definitely gave us a lot of helpful insights. But what was really cool is the conversation turned into some inner healing work. It was so wild. So this is where it gets super cool. This time last year, we lost our first child. And I had a miscarriage at 11 weeks. It was truly devastating. I have an episode on it. Honestly, the episode, I hadn't even processed it fully at all. It has taken a year to continue to process it and grieve it. It was just heartbreaking. Like anyone who is listening who's had a miscarriage, I'm sure you understand. It's so hard to explain how I felt, but it was devastating. So my heart goes out to anyone who is experiencing that or has experienced a miscarriage or losing their child. Like it is the pain. My heart breaks for anyone experiencing that. So we lost our first child this time last year, and through the phone call with Cynthia, we start doing inner healing work around losing our first child. And we grieved like never before. I cried so hard. It was just beautiful. It was so beautiful to just release so much grief I was carrying for the past year around this loss. John released a ton as well. And it was just so, so beautiful. Cynthia did as well. We all were just crying. Like it was truly something. So after that happened, I felt like 1,000 times better. I felt so much peace about giving birth to Belle. I felt like this release I'd been carrying was just, it was gone. And it's so cool, you guys. This is how the Lord works. So we canceled the induction, I think after that phone call or before. I'm not sure what time we did. Fast forward an hour later, John and I go to Chick-fil-A. We have a date night every single week. And for that night, we were like, let's go to Chick-fil-A. So we go to Chick-fil-A. And as we're eating Chick-fil-A, I start to have contractions. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, I don't want to get excited. I don't want to be like, this is it, you know, because it happened 2 weeks before that. And then it was nothing. So we get home. We lay down. We're watching a movie, a really good movie. Oh my goodness. It was so emotional. We bawled our eyes out more in the movie. And at this point, the contractions chilled out. They stopped. And I was like, okay. But for some reason, I was like, I just feel like I'm going to go into labor, especially after that emotional release. I feel like maybe that's what was holding me back from my body going into labor. So fast forward, we get into bed and I start having contractions they feel different. The doctors had told me, they were like, you're going to know when you're going into labor, you're going to know. And I was like, how do you just know? Like, what does it feel like? They're like, you're going to know. And I'm like, okay, I hope I know. Anyways, these contractions felt like period cramps, but then they'd be accompanied by a dull, aching pain in my lower back. And each contraction felt the exact same. They were all spaced out, extremely similarly timed. The Braxton Hicks had been close, like similar, but these were way more, like every single contraction was very, very, very spot on, same time as the one before, within maybe like the minute. And at this point, I'm like, oh my goodness, I think this is it. I think this is when I'm going into labor. So I'm telling John, I'm like, I think like I'm going to labor right now. And he's like, okay, let's try and get some sleep. I'm going to sleep. You keep timing them. And I was like, okay. And he's like, if it hits an hour, wake me up. So I'm like giddy at this point. I'm so excited. So I start timing them out. And what do you know? After an hour, they don't stop. They're still like within 3 to 5 minutes. And then it continues. I wait like another 15 minutes or so to wake up John. They continue. I wake him up. I'm like, John, like they haven't stopped. This is it. I'm going into labor. And also too, just a little note here is I tested positive for, I think it's called like strep B or something. It's basically this bacteria a lot of people carry. I don't even know exactly what can cause it, but if you have it, basically you have to have antibiotics in an IV. I mean, you don't have to, but it's really, really recommended. My gorgeous queen, it's Callie, and I'm so excited to tell you about something that's transforming the way I work out. My sweaty studio app. If you're looking for a fun and effective way to get stronger, leaner, and more confident, this is it. Sweaty Studio is your go-to for on-demand Pilates workouts that fit right into your busy schedule, no matter where you are. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, the app offers a variety of classes, from 10-minute quickie sessions to full-length workouts that challenge every muscle in your body. And the best part? You can do it all from the comfort of your home, at the beach, or even while traveling. The app is designed to help you build strength, improve flexibility, tone your body, and feel empowered through affirmations blended into your workouts. Plus, with new classes and monthly challenges added regularly, you'll never get bored. You can even track your progress and join a community of like-minded women who are all on their journey to feeling their best. Some of my favorite workouts on the app are our Pilates and Praise classes that blend worship music with Pilates, our new Reformer Pilates workouts, or our Barlotti's flows that blend ballet movements with Pilates to the beat of the music. Ready to get started? Simply download the Sweaty Studio app now and take your Pilates practice to the next level. Your first 2 weeks are totally free, so you've got nothing to lose. Head over to sweatystudio.com to learn more and start your free trial today. Let's get sweaty together. Hello, my gorgeous queen. I'm so excited to share something that I know will be a game changer for you. If you're dealing with a miserable that time of the month, feeling bloated, having cravings, or struggling with sleep, you're going to want to hear about this. Meet Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, a supplement designed to support your body's natural balance, making things like PMS, mood swings, and even menopause symptoms easier to manage. Plus, it's plant-based, gluten-free, and full of herbal adaptogens that help your body adapt to stress, something we all need. Some of my favorite core ingredients that make up Hormone Harmony are the adaptogens like ashwagandha extract, which helps the body handle stress from hormonal changes and cortisol levels. Another key ingredient I personally love is maca root extract, which can give you sustained energy, helping with mild mood swings and supporting a healthy drive. I've heard so many incredible stories from women who say they feel like themselves again after using Hormone Harmony, whether it's helping with sleep quality, reducing occasional bloating, or just supporting their overall well-being. It's truly making a difference for women all over the world. And here's the best part. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and there are over 17,000 glowing reviews from women who love the way it makes them feel. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com by using my code CALLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and don't forget to use CALLY for 15% off today. You're gonna love it. To protect your baby from contracting the bacteria as they go through your vaginal canal and out of the womb or into the world. And so I was like, okay, they told us, like, once you're having contractions 3 to 5 minutes apart, you need to head.
Hello.
Oh, you need to. Little girl is sleeping on my chest right now. She's right by the mic. So anyways, they tell us you need to head to the hospital once you're having contractions, like every 3 to 5 minutes for an hour and a half. And I'm like, okay. So we head to the hospital. It's so exciting. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is it. This is so wild. It is so surreal when you leave your house and you're about to give birth and you're like, everything is going to change. I'm going to come home with a child. Like, this is so crazy. So we get in the car, we head to the hospital, and we get to the hospital and we go up and they're basically, before they admit me, they want to check me, see how dilated I am, all these things. And they check me. I'm 1 centimeter dilated. For anyone listening who doesn't know this, when you give birth, you are 10 centimeters dilated. So I had a ways to go, but they ended up admitting me then, because at this point I was at 41 weeks and my induction, like I said, was literally had been scheduled for the next morning, but I'd canceled it that same day. So it's actually so funny. I arrived at the hospital like 8 hours early before my scheduled induction had been. And this is where it gets so cool. This is the Lord being just like the coolest. We had prayed for my midwife and for the birth team just throughout pretty much the entire birth. There was a midwife who we really liked. Shout out Candy. She is incredible. We really liked her and I wanted her to be my midwife so bad for the birth, but I knew she said she worked, like, her schedule wasn't very consistent, and I honestly don't think she was at the hospital that much. So I wasn't sure if I was gonna have her, and I was like, oh, I really want to have her as my midwife. We get there and sure enough, guess who is on staff that evening? Candy is. So she comes in and she is like talking to us and all the things. and told us she was leaving that morning. I think her shift ended at 8 a.m. So we were like a little bummed because I wasn't going to give birth that fast. But it was so amazing having her at the beginning of the labor because she was able to guide me and get me admitted because she knew like my history and all these things, because I had seen her a bunch during labor, or not labor, during the pregnancy. So anyways, they are like, okay, well, we're going to admit you. But before that, or no, before they decided to admit me, they were like, we need you to get a little bit more dilated. So for the next 2 hours, we need you to walk as much as you can and try and get dilated. This point, it's midnight, you guys. Literally midnight. So here I am. I'm in my hospital gown. I'm so pregnant, having contractions every 3 to 5 minutes. They're not that intense yet. I'm walking down the hospital with John, like power walking. And before even doing that, I popped on a dance cardio workout. I was doing a dance cardio workout in the room in my hospital gown. I have videos of it. I have to post it. And then walking, power walking on my little hot girl hospital walk. And then I did another workout. At this point, I'm so tired. It's like 2 a.m. I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my goodness. They checked me again. Or no, they came in at 3, I think 3 a.m. And they checked me again. I'm still 1 centimeter dilated. I'm like, oh my gosh. After all of that, I'm still 1 centimeter dilated. Like, you're joking. But my cervix was more, I think it's called effaced. So that wasn't as like tense. Anyways. And they were like, okay, we're going to admit you into the hospital because you're 41 weeks. We're not going to send you home. And so we moved to our labor room. At this point, I'm still doing the natural route, and they basically were letting me have early labor at the hospital. Early labor is before you're 5 centimeters dilated. So I had a ways to go in early labor. And I was like, literally, I was like, how am I going to get more dilated? Like, it was crazy. I was so discouraged at first when they told me I was only 1 centimeter dilated still. And that's just like part of the journey, though, is that I think that was one of my mental battles, was not getting discouraged when it was taking longer for my body to be ready to push. And this is where it's so important, if you are pregnant listening to this, to have a birth team, whether that's your partner, the nurses, the midwife, if you have a doula. I didn't have a doula, but just having people behind your back, just cheering you on, speaking life into you, encouraging you throughout the whole thing when you feel discouraged, like that was so crucial to me and helped me keep going. Okay, so at this point, it's the morning and our new midwife comes in the room. I had never met her before. It was a wild. Of all the midwives we had seen, I'd never had her, and I was like, oh boy, I hope she's good. Literally obsessed with her. She used to work at a birthing center and did home births, loves Pilates. I was like, you're my gal. And so she was very, very like, okay, I respect, like, you want to do natural, like, we're gonna, unless you change your mind and want to do anything else, just let me know. But here are some things you can do if you do want to speed up your labor a little bit. And at this point, I've been laboring for a while. In my mind, it felt like a long time. And I was getting a little tired. And I was like, okay, like, let's see what some of the other options are if this doesn't speed up slightly. Just so I don't, you know, lose all my energy laboring. Like, that was one thing that I wanted to be mindful of, is to have energy to really get through the push. So she told me about, like, a balloon thing you could do. She told me about, there was... it's like a little pill. It's induction. It's a pill you can take that helps your body, like, go into labor, like, whatever. It speeds things up a little bit. And it's, I guess, less intense than Pitocin. So I was like, okay, let's start with the pill. I thought about it longer. Initially, I was going to do the balloon method, but then it kind of, like, it wasn't a guarantee to speed things up. And I was like, let's just do the pill. Anyways, we do the pill. And the contractions didn't get that much worse. I had lunch. The contractions actually got a little bit worse. John would do counter pressure on me If you don't know what counter pressure is, it's basically when I'd have a contraction and I'd have a lot of pain like in my hips, he'd press on those areas as I was having the contraction and it would help a lot with the pain being less. So we were doing that. I have lunch and I took a second pill of that same medication. And that is when things started to escalate a lot for me. The contractions got a lot more intense because it was an induction. So I learned that, I guess, when you do an induction, it can make the contractions more intense because it's like literally putting your body into labor. I don't know exactly how that works, but it got so much more intense. At this point, I'm trying everything to manage the pain, but I'm not gonna lie, it was hard and I was crying. And I started feeling discouraged. And so John was trying to speak life into me. He's like, you got this, all the things. But I was tired, you guys. And I was like, you know what? It got to a point where I was like, it's so funny. This is so funny to me. I've been so adamant about having a natural birth my entire pregnancy. But then when it actually came to the labor process, I was like open-minded to whatever. As long as it got her here safely, I was so open. Like everything just flipped. It was so funny. So I was like, okay, what are my pain med options? I didn't want to do the epidural. I really didn't want to do an epidural. It really freaked me out. But I started with something else first. So I got this IV pain medication. Would not recommend it. I did not like it. It made me so loopy, so out of it. I literally had to like remind myself to breathe while I was on it. It was so bizarre. Anyways, I was on that and then I could still feel the pain a little bit, but like apparently it helped me. I didn't feel like it helped me, but apparently it did. So that starts to wear off and I am coming back to reality and I was in so much pain at this point. Like it hurt. I was crying. I just didn't know how I could do it. And the midwife comes back in and she's trying to encourage me, all this stuff. And I got to a point where I was like, literally, why am I not getting an epidural? Genuinely, like, I'll be fine. Like, let's just bring it on. Give me the epidural. And she was like, okay. So I go from wanting this natural, just completely natural birth, no pain meds, nothing, to I'm like, give me the epidural. And so I get the epidural. I was praying the whole time. I was like, please, Jesus, like, protect me. I honestly don't know how I even sat through the epidural, like, getting it. Because I was just in so much pain in the contractions. Like, I would just, like, have to bend over, have counter pressure done. But truly, God is so good. And I was able to sit still for a few minutes while they put the epidural in. And then it kicked in. And truly, like, it helped so much. Because before that, it was taking a while to dilate, like I said. And a lot of it is because the pain. So basically, I learned that dilation happens when your brain releases oxytocin. So that basically helps your body dilate. But if you're having like the pain and all that, your body can release a different, I think it's a hormone, a different hormone that can cause you not to dilate. So my brain, I think, was releasing the other thing, which was hindering my dilation. So when I got the epidural, all of a sudden my body is so relaxed and I was able to dilate a lot more. I got to, I think, 5 centimeters dilated at that point. And they're like, okay, what do you think about doing a low amount of Pitocin? And I was like, let's do it. I was so tired at this point. I'd been laboring for so long. And they give me the Pitocin and it seriously, I feel like it sped things up so fast. I ended up being 10 centimeters dilated. While that's happening though, I am asking the nurse 1,000 bajillion questions about the pushing phase of labor. I was like, I needed to know everything, how to navigate it. And so that's something I recommend doing if you are pregnant is pick your nurse's brain while you're in labor. Ask them any questions that you have. When you learn things, I'm serious, I think it helps so much with that fear of the unknown because you're in a room with someone who's already done it. And that was really cool. My nurse was incredible. She was a mom and she told me all of her, just all these things that helped me so much, gave me so much peace of mind. So at this point, I'm in transition. Transition is like 30-minute to 60-minute sort of phase. It's really intense before you push. And a breath that helped me a ton is breathe in through your mouth 2 times, out through your mouth 2 times. So I'd go when I was having a contraction, even with epidural, like my epidural, it was cool because I could kind of control how much meds I wanted to feel. So I was still feeling the contractions at this point, but they were so much more manageable. But transition phase, I still felt it. So I was doing the breathing to help manage it and it made it a lot better. And then when it was actually time to push, it was so surreal because they come, like all these nurses come in the room, they're getting everything ready. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm about to have this child. Like this is happening. So crazy. So surreal. So at this point, I am like preparing myself to push. And it was wild. The midwife comes in the room. We're all ready to go. At this point, it's like 1 a.m. on Saturday. So yeah, I went to labor Thursday night. And then I actually gave birth Saturday morning. So it was really long, long journey. At this point, the pushing starts. And I could feel it because my epidural was not that strong, which I am so thankful for, because something I was really nervous about with epidural is tearing a lot. If you can't feel, apparently it can make it harder to know like how hard you're pushing. And I wanted to feel it. I wanted my body to be really intuitive during this phase. So that was a huge blessing that I honestly couldn't feel it that much. So as I'm pushing to start, it felt like I was taking a big old poop. That is the best way to explain it. Also, this is so TMI, but literally the entire labor, I had to poop so much. It was crazy. I think it was really cool though, because I feel like my body was just getting rid of all of the poop in my body, so I wouldn't like poop when I gave birth, I guess. I know a lot of people poop when they give birth, but I didn't poop because I pooped everything out before that happened. It was very, very wild. So we start to push. I'm not going to lie, the pushing phase was tough. It mentally, like I said, I felt very discouraged. I felt like she wasn't going anywhere and I was trying so hard. But at one point the doctor goes, I was like, I can't do it anymore. And she's like, yes, you can. Reach your hand in there. And I reached my hand in and felt her head. And I was like, oh my goodness, she's almost here. It's so crazy. So we gave it a few more pushes. I think I pushed for like an hour maybe. It was honestly not that bad. And it was very, very manageable, I will say. It definitely hurt. Ring of fire is real, but you got this. It's not as bad as, like in the moment, it's just so exciting. There's so much adrenaline, like it's good. So I end up pushing. She comes out. It's all a blur to me, but John cut the cord and they laid her on my chest. We did skin to skin before he cut the cord though. And we did like the, whatever it's called, delayed cord cutting. We did the skin to skin and I was just like, it was just so cool. Like so beautiful seeing my just amazing child just on me. And I was like, wow, this is so, so wild. Like nothing compares to the feeling of seeing your baby you've carried for 9 months in the real world on your chest. You're like, what is happening right now? And you're also very delirious because you just gave birth. So she's on me. I'm just like, this is so cool. And we really just soaked in that moment. It was just, there's nothing like it, really. It was so cool. So then at that point, everything is honestly a blur for the next hour or so for me. But I tore a tiny bit. They stitched me up. And then I feel like we slept. I don't even know. All I know is the next day, though, we woke up and I literally was not allowed to go use the bathroom by myself. The nurses had to help me, and that was I was not expecting that. So here I am. I'm like just waiting in bed. I have to pee myself so bad. Our new baby is just right there. It's like, whoa, this is just so, like, so wild. Anyways, the nurses helped me to the bathroom. And it was definitely very strange peeing in front of people and also having a stitch in me while peeing. It was just, I felt very sore, very, very sore. I felt like I got hit by a train. But I get back into the bed and honestly, just like, it was just nice. I really enjoyed the hospital. The food was incredible. The nurses were incredible. They helped me learn how to breastfeed. They just were so helpful answering all of our questions that we had. John was incredible during the entire birth as well. Like, he was so involved in it, doing counter pressure, hyping me up, ordering me food, just doing anything and everything that needed to happen. It was just, yeah, it was great. Also, I left out one little key detail in the labor process that I loved the hospital did is before giving birth, they did one more ultrasound to confirm she was head down, to confirm her position. And she was actually, her head was not in the right position in terms of like where it was tilted. So they had me doing some cat-cows for a while to get her repositioned, and that really helped. So that was very, very cool. But after that, we were in the hospital for several days, or not several days, yeah, kind of several days, like 48 hours, I think. And she thankfully passed all of her tests, super healthy girl, amazing, amazing girl. My parents, they flew down, they came to the hospital, and that was just like so special and sweet. They got to have that moment with her and us. And then we, like, it was when we were leaving the hospital, I literally cried. I felt like I was leaving camp. And it was just like, so, this beautiful moment that had happened. It was coming to a close at the hospital. And I was so sad. But we left and drove her home. And it was just like introducing her to the dogs. We did that through the fence, really just eased it in. And they were so kind to her, very respectful. And after that, I mean, it has just been a recovery process. My parents were in town for a week after, and that was like such a blessing, just having them cook us meals, help us with running errands. One of the things that did happen that was very interesting is we got home to find out the bassinet I'd gotten was not level like it was in the hospital. And so we ended up going, not going, we got my parents to go, but we got a bassinet from Target. And it is a very nice bassinet. Honestly, so thankful we got it. But we got that bassinet. So that was a little road bump right when we got home. We're like, this doesn't seem safe for her to be in. So, yeah. And then other than that, I'm trying to think. The recovery has been, I want to record another episode on postpartum. I think that's another episode for another day. Because there's so many things that I could talk about in that. In the entire postpartum journey so far. But until then, I'm going to answer a couple relevant questions you guys asked about the birth that I think you guys will appreciate. So the first one is, what's the story behind the name Belle? It's a beautiful name. Thank you, girl. You're so sweet. So you guys, a lot of you guys asked this question actually. And I actually would never consider the name Belle. I didn't even know Belle in my life. But I was journaling the Lord's voice. This was like around 20 weeks pregnant. And I didn't know she was a girl yet. We had a lot of prophecy that alluded to her being a girl. So we were like, okay, we think she's a girl. But the Lord spoke to me and gave me the name Belle. And I was like, Belle. That's cool. And next to the name, I felt him be like, joyful one. And I wrote it down. And I told John about it briefly. I was like, I don't really know what this means, but the Lord told me this. So we go and get our ultrasound, find out she's a girl. And then we're at lunch at Longhorn Steakhouse. And we're like, okay, like we're talking about names. And I was like, what about Belle? And John started tearing up and he was like, yes. And I was like, that is her name. Yes. Her middle name. Oh, and also, this is super cool. I think it was 2 days later, we went to church and I met someone who was named Belle. I never met a Belle in my entire life until we picked her name Belle, and she was an amazing person. So that was definitely very cool. My gorgeous queen, it's Callie, and I'm so excited to tell you about something that's transforming the way I work out. My sweaty studio app. If you're looking for a fun and effective way to get stronger, leaner, and more confident, this is it. Sweaty Studio is your go-to for on-demand Pilates workouts that fit right into your busy schedule, no matter where you are. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, the app offers a variety of classes, from 10-minute quickie sessions to full-length workouts that challenge every muscle in your body. And the best part? You can do it all from the comfort of your home, at the beach, or even while traveling. The app is designed to help you build strength, improve flexibility, tone your body, and feel empowered through affirmations blended into your workouts. Plus, with new classes and monthly challenges added regularly, you'll never get bored. You can even track your progress and join a community of like-minded women who are all on their journey to feeling their best. Some of my favorite workouts on the app are our Pilates and Praise classes that blend worship music with Pilates, our new Reformer Pilates workouts, or our Barlotti's flows that blend ballet movements with Pilates to the beat of the music. Ready to get started? Simply download the Sweaty Studio app now and take your Pilates practice to the next level. Your first 2 weeks are totally free, so you've got nothing to lose. Head over to sweatystudio.com to learn more and start your free trial today. Let's get sweaty together. In terms of her middle name, Eden, we were so on the fence about a lot of middle names because Belle, I feel like, is usually more of a middle name. It was hard to figure out a name that sounded good with Belle. So we were kind of juggling between like Alexandria, Eden, all these things. And finally we were like, we love the name Eden. Let's just go with that. So we did. And I feel like it's very relevant. Belle means beautiful. Eden, like the Garden of Eden. Before sin came into the world, I mean, it was just walking with the Lord, purity, all these things, beautiful, just, yeah. So I feel like Eden is a beautiful name. So anyways, we picked that name, and it's so fitting for her. I love the name Belle for her. It's just so perfect. She's so cute. Okay, let's see some other, what were contractions better or worse than you expected them to be? I think they were probably worse just because, I don't know. Here's the thing, is when I had the miscarriage, that was really painful, and those were contractions I had. So I had that as my kind of like gauge for pain. I would say they were probably around the same as that, maybe a little bit worse as it got closer to pushing. So I think they were a little worse than I expected, but that's also just me. I know people have, like, some people have pain-free births, which is so cool, and I would love that one day, where other people have, like, a lot of pain. I don't know. I think it came down, this is what I realized while in labor. The pain, I think, was worse when I didn't breathe. My whole body was tense and I wasn't breathing in the contraction is when it felt so much worse and it was so much more painful. So I think the key for making contractions less painful is truly focusing on breathing, focusing on relaxing your body. It's hard, but doing the best you can there and not holding your breath. Because when I would hold my breath and freak out, that's when they were so bad. So yeah. Okay, let's see some other questions. Okay. Must haves for a hospital bag. Ooh, I made a post on this. I'll try and just name them off the top of my head. Actually, I'm going to do myself a little favor and just pull up the Instagram thing that I posted. Here's what I would recommend. Toiletries, comfy clothes that are breastfeeding friendly, if that's what you're doing. Technically, you could wear your hospital gown for several days, but I got tired of my bare butt just being out. Several outfits for your baby. I recommend doing sleepers that have like little mittens on their hands because their nails are sharp and also it's cold in the hospital. A warm blanket for you. Pillow from home if you're picky about your pillow. A phone charger, water bottle. And our hospital provided diapers, wipes, postpartum care, which was my diapers, a rinse, and witch hazel, swaddle for Belle, grip socks, pillows, food, lanolin for the nipples if you're breastfeeding. Yeah. So that's the hospital bag recs I have. And then, okay, some more questions for you guys. Ooh, I like this question. Expecting my first baby in December. Congrats, Kate. That's so exciting. Best takeaways from your journey in pregnancy, birth. Okay, I'm definitely going to do... Oh, wait, you said pregnancy. Okay, I think best takeaways... Oof. I would say in birth... Oh, my goodness. Just being present during the birth. Like, it's such an exciting moment. And I think just, like... Oof. There's so many things I could talk about in this question. Best takeaways. I mean, the best takeaway ever was taking away my child, taking her home. I think just like soaking in the experience. Like, it's a wild journey. Birth is a wild journey. I think soak it in and don't be afraid to go with the flow. I got to a point too where I was like, if I need a C-section, give me a C-section. I'll do anything. I think that's where when you are about to be a mother, like I heard before, you become selfless. And I was like, slice my body open if that means my child is okay. So I think that was like one of my bigger takeaways, is realizing like the selflessness really does start, especially it starts in pregnancy, but during birth, like it's another level. You want to protect your child so much. So I think that was really beautiful. I think also in pregnancy, like one of my takeaways that was incredible was just, I think it's cool how you get eased into having a baby. Like, we have 9 months to prepare to have a child. And towards the end of my pregnancy, I was waking up a lot during the night. And before being pregnant, I literally would say, if I don't get 8 to 9 hours of straight sleep, my day is over. And by the end of pregnancy, I realized that that wasn't true anymore. I could wake up and be fine during the day and function fine if I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't fall asleep for several hours. And in birth, and I mean, now being a mom, like that's the same thing. I realized, like, yes, getting 3.5 hours of sleep on some nights, it's not easy, but I can still function and I'm still able to be a human and like do things. So I think that is something that I realized as well. But wow, there's so many more things. I feel like we need to do an entire Q&A episode on pregnancy, birth, being a mom, because there's so many questions I want to answer, you guys. I think I want to answer 2 more, though. So let's see. All things conception prep. How did you know it was time for a baby? Well, Lily, this... Okay. This story is actually super cool and it's beautiful because, like I said, it was really hard losing our first daughter in October. Like, that wrecked me. When we found out we were pregnant with her, our first, it was a wave of emotions because I wasn't sure I was ready to be a mom, honestly. Like, I remember on my bachelorette party, I had found out I was pregnant maybe like 2 weeks before my bachelorette. And on my bachelorette, none of my friends knew I was pregnant except for my sister. And I was so moody. I was so emotional. I just broke down crying because I was scared. I wanted to be a mom, but it was scary to me. We weren't not trying to get pregnant, if that makes sense. Like, we weren't using condoms. We weren't we weren't being careful or whatever you want to call it. So I knew there was a chance of getting pregnant and I was okay with that because like I wanted to be pregnant, but also I was like, I'm so young, I don't know. So that was going on the first pregnancy. By the time I lost our first though, I was so happy to be pregnant. I loved it. And then I lost her. And after that, I knew, I was like, I am designed to be a mother. Like, I want to be a mom so bad. And that just confirmed it. So at that point, it's October and November was we got married in April. But we had a big wedding in November. So we had our large wedding and then went on our honeymoon. And at that point, like, I wasn't sure I was ready to try again or to be pregnant again. So around December, around maybe like mid-December-ish, I knew my body, I think I had my like period again, and because I bled for like a month after the miscarriage, and then I had a cycle and I knew I was ovulating, and I was very much like talking to John, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready yet to be pregnant. Like, I could get pregnant right now and I'm not totally sure I'm ready. And he was kind of on the same page. But it's so interesting. This is like totally TMI, but I'll just tell you guys anyway. So we had sex and he pulled out, and both of us felt like weird about it. We felt like we weren't supposed to do that. So we had sex again and he didn't pull out. And I'm like 100% sure that's when I got pregnant, was that moment. Cause like we just felt this strong conviction from the Lord, both of us. Like it was just so wild. And then this is where it gets even more wild. So the day, I think it was the day after that happened, this couple at our church who had prayed over us when we had our miscarriage, he prophesied for us over our next child and was like, you guys need to get a baby item and be like, we're having this baby and like claim it. And we're like, okay, yeah. And then I go to coffee with my friend the next day and she had a vision of us holding a baby in a pink swaddle. And at this point, like, I didn't know I was pregnant. I mean, we literally just like conceived the baby and didn't even know. So fast forward, we go to Texas for Christmas and New Year's. And on the drive home, I was exhausted. I literally cannot stay awake. I was pounding a Celsius and it was doing actually nothing for me. And I was like, my stomach was so upset too, out of nowhere. I was like having to pull over every few minutes to just like use the bathroom. And I was like, either something is very wrong with me or I'm pregnant. Because I remembered how I felt the first pregnancy. I was so tired, like unlike any other thing, just exhausted, pounding caffeine, nothing was helping. So we get home and at this point I'm kind of like, oh my goodness, like I wonder if I'm pregnant. So we take a pregnancy test and sure enough, I am pregnant. And I was so excited this time. I was like so, so, so excited. The first time I was excited too, but this time it was like, I was like, this is redemption. I feel like this is redeemed. The Lord is in this. And it was just beautiful. So we took more pregnancy tests, confirmed I was pregnant. I didn't throw those tests away. I still have them, actually. It was just such a beautiful moment. So yeah, in terms of conception tips, I know that there are some people struggle with getting pregnant. I have some friends walking through that right now. So my prayer does go out to you guys. I'll be praying for everyone struggling to get pregnant right now, that the Lord just open your womb and just allow the egg to be fertilized in Jesus' name. I just pray that over you. Any great parenting or pregnancy books? I definitely like the What to Expect When You're Expecting book. That one's been very helpful. I loved the Ina May Childbirth Guide Childbirth. That book was incredible. I will say, it was very much natural, do natural birth, all this stuff. I will say that, like, after doing interventions, like the Pitocin, epidural, everything, there's nothing wrong with going that route, truly. If that's what's best for you, do it. Like, there's no need to perform or prove to anyone anything during labor. That's something I had to release, but that book's incredible for just educating you better about how labor works, about your body, about pregnancy. So that one was really, really good. And then, yeah, those are honestly the two books I'd recommend for sure. I also got, it's called Supernatural Childbirth. That book is really good as well. I loved the declarations at the end of the book, the prayers. Those were awesome. I would read them out loud and speak them over my baby and over ourselves. There was a lot to do with like fear and stuff like that. Anyways, you guys, I think that's a wrap. That episode, I feel like, I hope that was helpful. I hope if you're pregnant listening, that just gives you a little bit more light on what the birth experience could look like. Everyone's birth story is totally different and your birth story could be different than mine. But I really just recommend to anyone out there who is pregnant, and I mean, if you're not pregnant now and you want to give birth in the future, just release yourself from pressure. there's no need to measure up to anyone else's expectations of you. You don't need to prove anything to anybody during birth. You don't need to do what everyone says. You ultimately know what is best for you and your child. Give it up to the Lord. Invite him in and realize that, like, it's okay to get an epidural. That was huge for me. It's okay. And yeah, just involve the Lord in it. There is so much power in prayer. Prayer over your baby now, whether your baby is not even conceived yet. Just start praying for your kids. Just pray for them in the womb. Pray for them during the labor. Pray for your body during labor, during pregnancy. Like, just, yeah, take the thoughts captive. Any thoughts coming into your mind that are trying to cause fear, trying to cause worry, doubt, whatever it is, like, take them captive, give them to God. He is the creator of your child. He is knitting your baby together in your womb. It's a masterpiece. So the devil hates babies. The devil hates life. So the devil's going to try and destroy that and take that. But you don't have to let them. You don't have to let him ruin your pregnancy journey or your labor with fear. You don't have to let him. So just stay on guard. You got this. Your baby is so safe in there. And I'm so excited for anyone who is giving birth soon. It is so special. Being a mother is so special. And I want to record an episode on postpartum, the postpartum journey so far. So stay tuned for that. Probably to come next week. Thanks for being understanding of the new the podcast scheduling, uploading stuff. You guys are awesome. I love this community so much. And I'm going to read one thing that someone sent in that just made me smile so big, because I want to appreciate you guys. And your sweet messages do mean a lot to me. This is from XXIzzyJ22. Just finished last week's episode and it's so good. So grateful God showed me it. I am so thankful that God shows you guys the podcast and puts the right episodes in front of you. Just so cool how that works. But I love you guys. You're awesome. If you like the podcast, tag me in your stories on Instagram. Send it to a friend who maybe is pregnant and needs a positive birth story. But anyways, I love you guys. Have the best day. And Belle says bye. She's literally sleeping so hard right now. And I'll see you next time. Bye. My gorgeous queen, it's Callie, and I'm so excited to tell you about something that's transforming the way I work out. My Sweaty Studio app. If you're looking for a fun and effective way to get stronger, leaner, and more confident, this is it. Sweaty Studio is your go-to for on-demand Pilates workouts that fit right into your busy schedule, no matter where you are. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, the app offers a variety of classes, from 10-minute quickie sessions to full-length workouts that challenge every muscle in your body. And the best part? You can do it all from the comfort of your home, at the beach, or even while traveling. The app is designed to help you build strength, improve flexibility, tone your body, and feel empowered through affirmations blended into your workouts. Plus, with new classes and monthly challenges added regularly, you'll never get bored. You can even track your progress and join a community of like-minded women who are all on their journey to feeling their best. Some of my favorite workouts on the app are our Pilates and Praise classes that blend worship music with Pilates, our new Reformer Pilates workouts, or our Barlotti's flows that blend ballet movements with Pilates to the beat of the music. Ready to get started? Simply download the Sweaty Studio app now and take your Pilates practice to the next level. Your first 2 weeks are totally free, so you've got nothing to lose. Head over to sweatystudio.com to learn more and start your free trial today. Let's get sweaty together.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
My gorgeous queen, it's Callie, and I'm so excited to tell you about something that's transforming the way I work out. My Sweaty Studio app. If you're looking for a fun and effective way to get stronger, leaner, and more confident, this is it. Sweaty Studio is your go-to for on-demand Pilates workouts that fit right into your busy schedule, no matter where you are. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, the app offers a variety of classes, from 10-minute quickie sessions to full-length workouts that challenge every muscle in your body. And the best part? You can do it all from the comfort of your home, at the beach, or even while traveling. The app is designed to help you build strength, improve improve flexibility, tone your body, and feel empowered through affirmations blended into your workouts. Plus, with new classes and monthly challenges added regularly, you'll never get bored. You can even track your progress and join a community of like-minded women who are all on their journey to feeling their best. Some of my favorite workouts on the app are our Pilates and Praise classes that blend worship music with Pilates, our new Reformer Pilates workouts, or our Barlotti's flows that blend ballet movements with Pilates to the beat of the music. Ready to get started? Simply download the Sweaty Studio app now and take your Pilates practice to the next level. Your first 2 weeks are totally free, so you've got nothing to lose. Head over to sweatystudio.com to learn more and start your free trial today. Let's get sweaty together.